Welcome to month 2, week 1 of the School of the Holy Spirit. In the School of the Holy Spirit, we want to come to know that the Holy Spirit is our constant abiding companion. And in the school, we want to come to know the Holy Spirit personally. We want to experience what Jesus called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We want to learn how to move in the gifts of the Spirit and learn how to live a life in the Holy Spirit through personal and communal prayer. And lastly, we want to learn how to live and move in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. This week, we're going to take a look at the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And our scripture, focus scripture, is Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. Philippians 2, 10 through 11. The Word of God proclaims, "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus is Lord. If you're looking for the simplest explanation of Christianity, if you wanted to boil Christianity down, the simplest thing in Christianity is this: Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord is the creed of creeds, and it's in these three words are wrapped all that Christianity is and teaches. In these three words are truth, life, and victory. I'm telling you, this is powerful. Jesus is Lord. But unfortunately, we've, reduced it down to a bumper sticker or something like that. But it's the truth of the Christian life. And in this week in the School of the Holy Spirit, we really want to examine, what does that mean when we say Jesus is Lord? Number one, we want to come to an understanding of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And number two, we want to prepare our hearts to surrender to Jesus' Lordship over all we are and over all that we have. You see, that phrase, Jesus is Lord, really is where the rubber hits the road in Christianity. Now, for some of you, this week is going to be simply a renewal of your commitment to Christ. For others, this week will be the first time that you've made a commitment and the first time you've really given your life to Christ. If this week proves to be the first time that you have given your heart to Christ, I want to be the first person to say congratulations and welcome to the life that God has been dreaming for you. Your Father has been dreaming for you the life you've always wanted, but maybe you just didn't know how to get it. So I'm hoping this week that either we're going to recommit our lives to Christ, or if you've never done it before, this could be the week that changes your life for eternity. Now, think about that. Change your life for eternity? That's a long time. This week, maybe it's today. This week, today, could be the day that your life becomes everything you've been longing for and dreaming about. This surrender to Christ's Lordship is what life's all about. When it comes down to it, surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is what life is all about. And if you do this, I'm telling you, you're going to come to this place that Jesus called life to the fullest. In John 10:10, the Lord Jesus Christ says this: "I came that you might have life and have it to the fullest." Jesus Christ didn't come just for you to have life. He wants you to have the fullest, the most abundant, the most amazing life that you could ever have. Some of us think that if we give our life to Christ, it'll take away from our life. You know, that we'll come out on the short end of the stick at the end of our life. You know, some people think, I'm just going to wait to the end of my life, and then hopefully, please God, hopefully I'll have some time to get my life together. Because if I gave my life to Christ, some people think this, if I really committed myself to Jesus Christ, it would really ruin my life. But I've got good news for you. first of all, that's a lie. Second of all, the good news is he does have life for you and have it to the fullest. You see, in and of ourselves, we have what's called bios life, just biological life, right? In and of yourself, really, that's all you can achieve is bios life. And a lot of people go out to achieve great bios life. And like, for example, they work out like crazy. Now, that's great. That's wonderful, to take care of your body because it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. But we'll do all of these things to make sure our biological life is in great shape and it's thriving and that we're surrounded by all these things of comfort. And we just go out we go crazy when it comes down to it. We go crazy to make sure that we have everything for our bios life, biological life. But you know, in Greek, there's another word for life, and the word is Zoe, Z-O-E. I'm noticing a lot of people are naming their daughters Zoe, Z-O-E. That's another word for life in Greek. But that's the word when Lord Jesus says in John 10:10, I came that you might have life and have it to the fullest. That's the type of life he's talking about. He's not talking about bios. He's talking about a life that is beyond anything you can achieve of yourself. This is a life that's eternal life, a life that just keeps going and going and going and going. You know, Zoe life is like this. You get to a point and you say, okay, wow, I've really lived. There's more. And you think, oh man, I've really lived. No, there's more. There's more. There's just no end to it. That's what Jesus Christ wants for you. And some of us have taken Jesus and made him the bad guy. That if I give my life to Christ, I'm going to get ripped off. No, you're not. That's a lie of the devil. I want to help you today to find the most amazing, beautiful, wonderful, stupendous. Hey, take all the adjectives that you could come up with. And I'm telling you, they won't even describe what Jesus Christ has for you. So get your heart expectantly ready to be amazingly blessed. Amazingly blessed. Okay, if Jesus is Lord is the primary confession of the Christian, and it's what life is all about, then the primary work of the Holy Spirit is to bring you to that confession. You know, again, the Holy Spirit is the Parakletos. He's the one that comes alongside to help. He's our constant abiding companion. And do you know what he wants to do? He wants to stay with you. He wants to be with you and help you to really come to that place where you profess with all that you are that Jesus is Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, 1 Corinthians 12:3, St. Paul writes, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This is the work, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is his primary work, to bring you to the place where you cry out from the depths of your being, Jesus is Lord. Now, what does that mean, though, for Jesus to be your Lord? It's all about Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. Philippians 2:10 through 11, that's our focus scripture this week. And it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Holy Spirit, your constant abiding companion, wants you to bring you to the place where you bend your knee to Jesus and your tongue confesses his lordship over your life to everyone and anyone that you'll meet. In Romans 14:8, listen to this. In Romans 14:8, it says, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. That's what it means to be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to bring you to the place where your life totally, completely belongs to Jesus Christ. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Jesus is Lord means this: I am the Lord's. All my time, all my talent, and all my treasure belongs to the Lord. Everything that I am. If we live or die, we belong to the Lord. This is what it means to live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Everything bending its knee. Everything crying out and confessing him. See, because most of our life is about confessing ourselves. Confessing ourselves. Most of our life is getting everything in our life to bend to our will, to bend to our will and our desires. But Jesus is Lord means that everything in our life bends to his will and to his desire. Jesus is Lord means that the Lord is not part of my life. He is my life. You know, for a lot of people, imagine it like this, okay? Here's your life. Imagine a circle. right? Imagine a circle. And all these things are in your life. You've got your job, your family, all these things. And, you know, in your circle, you got a little cross, too. You got Jesus. He's just part of your life. He's not your life. See, Christianity is about the circle of your life is Jesus Christ. He is not part of your life. He is your life. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He's your constant abiding companion to help you to come to that place in your life where Jesus isn't a part of your life. Let's be honest. For a lot of people, Jesus Christ is, you know, they go to church on Sunday. And that's their Christianity. And they say their prayers, you know, at night. Our Father, Hail Mary. And, you know, God bless Johnny, God bless Susie, God bless the goldfish that died. And then they go to sleep. That's their life, you know. But living under the Lordship of Jesus Christ means, Jesus, you're not part of my life. You are my life. Today, you know, we hear a lot about radical Islam, don't we? Radical Islam. What the Holy Spirit is inviting you to is radical Christianity. Radical Christianity. Not radical Islam where it says, go out and take somebody's life for Allah. But radical Christianity is, go give your life to someone. Don't take life, give life. No matter the cost, by the way. No matter the cost. Radical Christianity looks like this. St. Paul's in Galatians 2:20. St. Paul in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see, Paul says this. He says, no longer is it I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. That's radical Christianity. This is the Christian life summed up, where we die to ourselves, and it's that Christ is living in us. Everything again, everything in our life is bending our knee to him. Everything's bending its knee to him. Instead of everything bending its knee to us, in our life as a Christian, we want everything to bend the knee to Jesus so that we can say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Wow, did you hear that last word right there? Did you hear that? Who loved me and gave himself up for me. Radical Christianity sounds like this. Maybe you've heard this prayer before. What is that? Oh my gosh, I wish I would have written this down in my notes. You know, we memorize so many prayers, and I thought I was going to have this down. There's this one prayer, and it goes something like this. Here it is. Thy kingdom come, thy will. What is that? Thy will be done. That's what it is. Have you ever heard that prayer before? Listen to it again. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Yeah, that's it. That's the prayer I was looking for. I think I got that down right. Did I get that down right? Yeah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what radical Christianity is about. God, your kingdom come, not my kingdom. Your will be done, not my will be done. To live under the lordship of Jesus Christ means thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, and that's a nice prayer. But do we mean it? Jesus is Lord, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done, sounds the same to the ears of heaven. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus is Lord, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When God hears us say those things, when God the Father hears that sounds the same to him. In heaven, those phrases sound the same. Jesus is Lord, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay, if Jesus is your Lord, then your mind, with its intellect, will, and emotions, is surrendered and submitted to Jesus. If Jesus is your Lord, then your mind, with its intellect, will, and emotions, is surrendered and submitted to Jesus. If Jesus is your Lord, your body is surrendered and submitted to Jesus. If Jesus is your Lord, your time is surrendered and submitted to Jesus. If Jesus is your Lord, your relationships are surrendered and submitted to Jesus. If Jesus is your Lord, your finances are surrendered and submitted to Jesus. Your work is surrendered and submitted to Jesus. Your dreams and your plans are surrendered and submitted to Jesus. If Jesus is your Lord, then this is your prayer. I learned this prayer from Sister Gerard when I was about 15 years old. This is a good prayer. Listen to this. If Jesus is your Lord, then here's your prayer. Ready? Lord, what you want, I want. And what you say, I will do. Lord, what you want, I want. What you say, I will do. That's a good prayer. Can you say that with me? Lord, what you want, I want. Go ahead, say it. Say it out loud right now. Lord, what you want, I want. And then what you say, I will do. Go ahead, say it. What you say, I will do. Lord, what you want, I want. What you say, I will do. Lord, what you want, I want. What you say, I will do. Do you have that down? I want to make sure you have it. Lord, what you want, I want. What you say, I will do. Now think about those words right there. Lord, what you want, I want. We're not just talking about just doing whatever God says because God says you have to do it. You're doing it because you want that. You want it. And man, as soon as he says it, you're doing it. You're not struggling against it. You're ready to go. That's what it means that Jesus is Lord. You know, Jesus is clear. Following him is a total commitment of all you are and all you have. For most people, like I said, Jesus is just part of their life. For these people, they go to church on Sunday, they say their prayers at night, their kids play soccer, and they make sure their kids don't swear. For them, that's Christianity. Jesus is not their life, he's just part of it. But listen to what Jesus says here. Jesus demands that he be your life. Look at Luke 9, 23 through 26. Luke 9, 23 through 26. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Take this personal. You are the anyone. This, it says, then he said to them all, this is you he's talking about. So take this personal, okay? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me, in my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Whoa, Jesus, wait, whoa. Jesus, let's just slow down a little bit. I have to lose my life for you? This sounds a little fanatical to me, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm talking about radical Christianity. Radical Christianity, I guess you could call those who follow radical Christianity fanatics. And by the way, when it comes to that word fanatic, isn't that an interesting word? Because the word fanatic, you know where we get the word fan from? Fan? Fanatic. Fanatic. You know, people, big fat guys like me, can strip down, take off their shirt, and paint their big bellies with all these colors of their favorite sports team and stand up at a football game, and it's the sight of sights. Wow. And everybody goes, wow, he's a great fan. Look how committed he is. But if somebody becomes a radical Christian, living their life completely for Christ, people think they've gone too far. They're fanatics. By the way, how far is too far for Jesus Christ? This is radical Christianity that we're talking about, that the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish through you in this simple profession, Jesus is Lord. But you know what? There's even more. He wants to take you to the place where you say, Jesus is my Lord. So Jesus is Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, what you want, I want. It's time to make a decision right now. It's time to commit. It's time to pray and to give our lives to Christ. You know, on your worksheet, you'll find a prayer. And it's a prayer of surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. This week, I want you to read that prayer over and over and over. And then at the end of this week, I'm praying that you really pray it from your heart. That you find yourself alone and you say, Jesus, you are my Lord. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name.